morning, everybody. We welcome you to our service time here at Living Water Worship Center here in Danville, Kentucky, and welcome all of you that are a member of this congregation and take part in this ministry here locally. And we want to welcome all of you that are out there in YouTube land that have joined us today or will be joining us in a few moments. So we just welcome you to our service time today, and we are still in a peculiar situation. As Paul talks about in the last days, we're under a situation where our world is being challenged with this pandemic, this pestilence, whatever you want to call it. So we want to go to the Lord in prayer, and then I want to share a few things with you before we actually get started into the Word this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to be in your Word today. I thank you for all those that are joining us and have joined us already, Lord, as we come to seek your face and to break bread, your Word, your bread, the bread of life, the bread of heaven before this congregation that's spread across the globe. And we just give you praise for all you're doing in our lives. And we know you're the way, the truth, and the life, and there's none beside thee, God. And so as we come before this group today, Lord, I pray that you'll minister to them through your word, that you'll give me the tongue of the learned, Lord, that I may be able to speak seasoned words, Lord, to those that have ears to hear, Lord. And we just pray that as this word goes forth, we know that it won't return void, and we pray for those who are lost, that their eyes will be open. We pray for those who are sick and afflicted, Lord, that they'll have a healing touch and be able to touch your garment this morning like that woman, Lord. And we pray for those who are discouraged, God, that they'll be encouraged and strengthened as your word comes forth. We give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I want to share a few things with you before I get in the word this morning. As we move back toward some level of normalcy, our service will be coming live around this time. And we're working our way through this for all of you that are out in YouTube land and watching us about how to broadcast. We will be coming on probably between 10:30 and 10:40, somewhere in that time, once we get back to normal because of our worship time. And then eventually we may be able to put our worship up as a part of the service as well. But I wanted to go ahead and get everybody used to the fact that I'll probably be stepping into the pulpit to preach somewhere around 10:35, 10:40 or something like that. Now, I have a great way of communicating with the local body here. I have an app that I can allow them to know certain things and send scriptures out and different information. But that size cannot reach to the whole community that we're reaching now with our podcast out around the world, and now with YouTube going across our nation and out into the world. So this thing's moving really quick. So we're looking into some ways where we can communicate with those of you who can't attend our church here physically. So we will, over the next few weeks, we'll be getting better at what we're doing. And we'll try to find an app to where you can tie into it from out in YouTube land, or if you're in Nigeria or one of the countries with our podcast, or from somebody across the United States. I know we have a lot of listeners in Canada, and we're thankful for all of you, and we feel privileged to be able to share God's word with you. And that's what we try to do here. I'm not too much of a topical preacher. Mostly what I do is expository preaching. I stay in the scriptures, verse on verse. We share some experiences as the Holy Spirit moves us to do that are applicable. We want to make the Word of God alive to you. We want it to come alive in your life. We also want to make it applicable. My motto has been for 30-some years is I want you to be able to take whatever you get from this message and be able to put it in your lunchbox and take it to work with you tomorrow because you know that it works. We want you to be able to apply God's Word, not just say, well, that was a good thing or we heard a good thing, but we want you to be able to take it with you and be able to impact your life. Whatever situation, your relationships, your finances, certainly your eternal destiny, that's the number one thing. But if you're sick and afflicted, we believe God is a healer. If you need prosperity, we believe God is Jehovah Jireh. He is a provider. Whatever you need, He is that. He's still the answer. No matter what your situation is, Jesus Christ is still the answer. So we're going to make a way to communicate with you guys that are out around the United States and across the globe. So going forward, I'll be coming live probably around 10:35. It's give or take a few minutes. We will have a countdown. We've also got more equipment coming where we'll be able to communicate with you on YouTube a little bit with more things. And also, when we get this new app up and running, we'll be able to communicate with people, a lot more people than we are able to now. So we're glad you're listening, and I want to get into the spiritual side of this service this morning. A lot of things go on in our service that are not happening now, and that's because we don't have our congregation coming together, and there are a lot of reasons for that. And, of course, we have a few folks here to make this happen and to pull this off, but I want you to know that since this has come about, this God has not left us in the dark here in this local body. From some of the words he's given us, from a word from the Lord I heard, and then some in our congregation, then some from other parts of the world that have given us words. And so we know God is working in the middle of all this. But during this season, I've felt a strong urge to come back to the Psalms. And then a few months ago, those of you that have been able to come to our congregation and that are listening now, or maybe you've been listening to the podcast, because on the podcast there are several books. I go through books at a time, and I'm a preacher. I feel like I'm a half preacher and a half teacher. I'm hung in the middle there. But we got Revelation, Genesis, a lot of things where we've worked through. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that studying Isaiah prior to this was God's will for our congregation. You can see how many parallels there are, and I know some of this is going around on the internet even now, but a few months ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to get into the book of Isaiah, and we've been doing that, and I think we can see clearly now why God alerted. Then he starts speaking, right? Then we have dreams, some things that the Lord has confirmed to us that he's going to watch over us, he's going to take care of us during this season, but it's a season that we need to be alert and be looking to him. Because of this season, the Holy Spirit, and I can't escape this, has been calling me back to the book of Psalms. So for the last couple of weeks and different situations, the book of Psalms and certain Psalms, and then the book of Isaiah and 1 Peter, those are all things that are ministering to me that I'm going to share some of that with you. So this morning, I'm going to go back to the book of Psalms, and I'm going to share some things with you out of a particular chapter. But also, the other thing the Holy Spirit's been ministering to me is that I'm really, you know, want to make sure people know that salvation is their lot. I'm really, no matter where I'm preaching from the last few weeks, I've been saying, hey, today's the day of salvation. You know, we can't put it off. This virus that's going around, as tragic as it is nothing compared to what's coming to the world. And so you need to come to Christ now, you know, and he will give you peace. He'll give you protection. He'll give you provision. He'll give you all three of those P's, peace, provision, and protection. So that's what the Holy Spirit offers us through the work of Jesus Christ and by the power and authority of God the Father. So we got a great lot. If you're a believer, your lot is great. You have a lot to look forward to, and you're going to see that this morning when we get into the book of Psalms. So I want you to know that this is a time that we can identify with the book of Psalms, because there's a lot of challenges that especially David and Moses and different ones who wrote in here, Asaph, that they face these challenges. And a lot of times the biggest battle that we face is our mind. You know, fear has torment, the Bible says. And the Bible also says fear only causes harm. So fear is a driving force. It was a driving force before this virus showed up. It'll be a driving force after this virus is gone. Too many people's lives are governed with fear. So, God, I'm going to share some personal things the Lord's been sharing with me throughout the message, but I want to get into Psalm 27. So if you got your Bible, you are at home or abroad, just go to Psalm 27, and I want to read to you. There's a Psalm of David that's attributed to David, and I don't see any reason why it's not David. And just to be honest, you know, I've been through school and seminary, and I wish some of these seminary professors would just stick with the Word and bringing people into the Word instead of trying to argue about who wrote what. In my perspective, and I want to make this clear, especially because this is a new channel we're coming through, my perspective is it doesn't really matter who the author was that penned it down. This is God's Word. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke through men to give to us to hand down. And God has preserved that for us. And the Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will stand forever. So I'm going to stand on God's Word. Anything else is sinking sand. Anything else, and I hope all of you all out in YouTube land just said amen to that. When I do this, when I wave my hand, that's when you're supposed to say amen. When God's Word will not return void, heaven and earth will pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and there's a need for that because both of them have been defiled. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, but His Word will stand forever, the Bible teaches us. So you need to have your life centered on God's Word. It doesn't matter what it is, your family, your job, your finances, your health, your wealth, it doesn't matter. You need to have everything in your life. I need to have everything in my life centered on the Word of God. And if we do that, we can't lose. To live is Christ, to die is gain. When our number gets called, and we don't have to have a virus to have our number called, right? None of us have the promise of tomorrow. So when our number gets called, we step from this place that's been defiled and go into a beautiful place of rest and peace with our Lord and Savior. So you can't lose if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. He came out of that grave, out of that tomb, so that you and I could have eternal life. And that's to whosoever will, He said. So let's go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and let's look what David shares with us. Now, there is no real clear situation that theologians and even Hebrew scholars over the years have been able to tag to where David's at this point in his life. But there's a good feeling among some of them that he's probably getting ready to be anointed, maybe king or his second anointing. Somewhere maybe in one of those settings they think this took place, because before David was anointed king, he had great opposition. He had things coming after him. You know, he had fear trying to get a hold of his life. He had Saul trying to kill him and all this kind of stuff going on. He had people had turned against him, and he had people that sided with Saul and the whole deal. You know, the story that David. So it's very possible that he wrote this during a time when he was getting ready to be crowned king, and he realized just how much God had watched over him and protected him. And there's some words in here that I want to point out in the Hebrew, especially at least one word that'll lead us to another word. And then we'll go into a word in the New Testament that'll help us understand what this means to us personally. Now, David went through situations like this, but this also is a prophetic utterance about Christ as He would come to the earth. But we're going to focus on it this morning, what it meant to a natural man, because I'm in Christ now, and if you are born again, you're in Christ. If you're a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, you're in Him. And so now you have the benefits and the promises that come through Him, because you and I are now in Him. So somebody asked me the other day, said, what are you going to be doing during this time? I said, what I'm going to be doing is taking a stand and getting healed in all these other little things that are nagging at me. You know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at life through hope. I'm not going to look at life. Your brain can either take in hope or defeat. I'm deciding to take in hope. And so there's some nagging things that I have from playing ball and different injuries, things that I'm believing God to heal me. While the world's looking at death, I'm looking at life. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to take the other side of that story. And so when David learned how to do that, because he was in life-threatening situations a lot. And we have a couple of our missionaries around the world that we won't call by name because we're going around the world, but we have a missionary in Africa and another one in Asia over in that part of the world that their lives are at stake pretty regularly, just about all the time. And so we don't live that way here in America, but there are all kinds of obstacles that try to steal our joy, right? The Bible says the devil comes forth to kill, to steal, and destroy. So you're in a situation now where you can give way to fear or you can start growing in your faith. I don't care where you're at in this world. And I understand there are people at risk, and I know some of those personally in my own family and in my church family. I understand that you have different circumstances, but no matter where you're at, rise up in faith. And you spend that time, if you're somebody who's quarantined, spend that time seeking God, praying for those. It would be beautiful if we had some politicians on the federal level or the state level that say, we need some people in this state, in this country, getting on their knees, seeking God, calling out upon His name. We need some people in our nation repenting for our sins and getting God's favor. We want God's favor, no matter what the situation is. And let me say this. We're all kind of in this situation because we see what it's doing to the world. But you have brothers and sisters that are in situations like this every day before a virus ever showed up. We need to have that kind of compassion. We need to have that kind of prayer life where we're not just now praying. We want to pray for a brother. You know, a brother that walks out of a doctor's office that's just been told he has 2 months to live is just as facing just as much fear and trouble as you're facing now, and you're not even sick. And so we need to have this same kind of compassion that we have for God's people and for the lost that's stirring up in us now. And I'm chief of that, right? I'm saying to you, that's what God's stirring up in me, Matthew. Don't forget about the lost, you know. You let this virus wake you up to the fact that there are lost people dying around you all the time that don't have viruses. Remember that. Come back to that, Matthew, and wake up yourself and realize we're trying to get people into heaven. That's what we're trying to do. And so we need to make sure as a body of believers and as Christians that our number one goal is to reach out to the lost. And then we disciple those who are Christ. And I'm here to motivate you and challenge you to grow deeper in the Word, to pray, and to share the gospel with people. Share the gospel with a letter. Share the gospel with your mouth. Share the gospel with a text or whatever God leads you to do. But it's time to share the gospel. We don't want to leave anybody behind. We want to take as many with us as we can. Can you say amen? All right, let's go to Psalm 27. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." That's a good word for all of us. The Lord is our light and our salvation. I'm going to talk to you about salvation in the New Testament context in just a minute. Whom shall I fear? You could put anything you want in there. Whom, what shall I fear? He says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Do you know what I believe? I believe, and I've believed this ever since I can remember believing anything, I believe as long as I'm not in rebellion and as long as I'm following the Lord, I can't die till the Lord's finished with me. I just believe that. I believe that. Now, again, I'm not saying that to be oblivious to what's going on. I think I am probably, because I still have to do a lot during all this, I don't feel like the shepherd can run, right? I probably am the chief hand washer in the United States right now. I wash my hands a lot, so much so that some of my skin. I don't want to become a Pharisee because they were all into that hand washing, right? But I'm being smart, but I'm also not going to live in fear. I refuse to live in fear. And so he says, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me and to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." Now that is David, that's his experience, but that's also a prophetic utterance about Christ. Remember when he came and they said, "Which one is he?" He said, some of your translations will have, "I am he." He's not in the original text. He was saying, "I am." So when they came and asked for him, he said, "I am." And the whole platoon fell backward. They couldn't stand up because what Jesus was doing by using that label, by using that title, he was referring to himself as God, right? He said, "I am. I'm part of the Godhead." He wasn't saying, "I'm the guy you're looking for." He's basically saying, "I'm God in the flesh." That's Emmanuel, right? God has come down. The Word has come down and become flesh and dwelt among us. That's who Jesus is. So Jesus spoke that, "I am," and they couldn't stand up. So here we see that is a prophetic utterance about Jesus to come. One time Jesus was coming into a situation, and they said he was good, and he said, "There's none good but the Father." Now, let me clear something up here. Jesus wasn't saying he wasn't good. He was perfect. He was sinless. But the problem they were struggling with in their day was they couldn't recognize him as God. You see, he's God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. He's part of the Godhead. And so basically what he was saying to those folks was, if you're going to recognize me as good, then you got to recognize me as God. You can't just recognize me as a good teacher, as a prophet. If you're going to say that I'm good in that sense, he said, the only one that's good is God the Father. You got to recognize. He wasn't saying he wasn't good. That's a misinterpretation of that, because he was perfect. He was saying to the crowd, if you recognize me as good and perfect, then you got to see me as God. Now see, Jesus is so different. I feel the Holy Spirit to speak where I'm going right here. Jesus is so different than the rest of the religions in the world. He did not preach something apart from himself. He did not say, like some of the other false prophets and false gods over the years, that says, I've found this, you ought to do it. I've walked here, you ought to walk there. I do this, why don't you try? Jesus didn't do that. He preached himself. He didn't preach a way apart from himself. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If anybody comes to the Father, he's got to come through me. He didn't preach something over here. Jesus didn't come to us and say, look, I've found a path over here that seems to be working for me. Why don't you try it? He didn't preach that. He said, I'm the way. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the life. And so Jesus did not preach salvation apart from himself. He did not preach the creed over here that he said, if you want eternal life, you got to come through me. That's the only way. So Jesus came to this earth preaching totally different. See, I can't do that. I can't preach myself because I'm a flesh. No other flesh can preach themselves. That's why when you go through the litany of the false prophets over the years, they have preached a way apart from themselves. Jesus didn't do that. You know what I'm doing? I'm still preaching Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus Christ preached himself. Now, when you got someone stepping on the scene to preach themselves, then you got to ask yourself a question. Are they really who they say they are? Can they really do those things? Or are they some man that's tripped out in his mind that's somewhere on an ego trip? And you could say that if you want to when Jesus was here and you could watch him. But when they went and found that stone rolled away and Jesus out of that grave, he proved to the world, to the Romans, to the Jews, and to us today, that he's not only a prophet and a rabbi, he was a Jewish man, he walked the Jewish way, but he was the Son of God, and he tore the veil so that you and I could go in. Jesus Christ proved that he was the way by coming out of the grave. And everybody out there in the land, give the Lord praise. God sent his Son to die in our place. And Jesus, unlike anyone else, preached himself. Now my duty is not to get up here and preach the name of our church. The name of our church don't save anybody. My duty is not to get in this pulpit and preach my ministries. My ministries aren't worth anything if the Lord's not in charge of them. My duty to get in this pulpit is to lift up Jesus, to proclaim his name, because he proved that he was the way, the truth, and the life through his resurrection. He was the great I Am and the spotless Lamb. He is the Son of God. He is part of the Godhead. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting on us and praying on our behalf. He says, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. So David's experiencing a lot of that stuff, and he's going to experience more of it. But he says, I'm not looking at this. I'm looking at God. In Psalm, over in the Psalms later, in Psalm 121, I believe 123. In fact, let's turn over there, if you would. Let's turn over. Let me give you something out of that. In Psalm 121, I didn't plan on going here, but I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to us. If you look at Psalm 121, this psalm was written, and I want to show you something that's going on here before we get back to Psalm 27. He says, the psalmist in verse 1 of Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. All right, you see that? He says, in the first part, you almost get the idea that he's going to look to the hills for his help. But that's not what the psalmist is saying, and I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. The psalmist, that's where all the high places were for false gods. That's where they did things we can't even speak about in this room. They did some of the evil, most evil, vile things out in the high places. In fact, When Josiah became king at 8 years old, as he had the word of God read to him, as he got older and older, the Bible says that there was never a king like him before him or after him, because he didn't just, most kings, when they would come to the city, if they were God's man, they would just clean up what they could see. All right? And then they would leave the high places out there. Josiah cleaned everything up. He cleaned the city up. He cleaned the high places. He had those false priests killed, their bones pulverized and scattered out. The Bible said there'd not have been a king like him before him or after him. Now, there's a lesson in that for us. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you just can't clean the stuff up you can see. You got to let the inside stuff be clean. You got to let the anger, the lust, the greed, all that kind of stuff, the unforgiveness, that's all got to be clean. If you don't clean those things, high places will be left in your life. Somebody said, I can't forgive. I say, you cannot but forgive. Freely you've received, freely you give. Anything you've been given, you have to give away. And so we have to forgive. Jesus says, if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. And that's one of the tougher ones. But we live in a culture that's so ingrained with greed, lust, anger, unforgiveness, all those kinds of things. You cannot just clean up what you see. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to clean up the things that cannot be seen. That has to happen in all of our lives. And that's part of this sanctification process. Do you know what the Holy Spirit's desire is in all of our lives? And this may catch you a little crossways, but hear me out. The Holy Spirit's desire is to conquer you. He wants to come into your life. That's why on the day of Pentecost, he went after the tongue the first thing. You know why? Because the tongue's full of deadly poison, the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit said, if I'm going to do anything to these people, I'm going to have to go after their tongue. And so he went after their tongue the first thing. But the Holy Spirit's job is to conquer your life, because sometimes we have little pockets of stuff that's still in there. And so the Holy Spirit keeps shedding the light to root that out of us, so he can have full disposal of who we are, mind, soul, body, spirit. He wants all of it, right? He wants to, and I got news for you out there. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how good you are, how wealthy you are, how poor you are. The Holy Spirit can run your life 100 million times better than you and I can. So turn it over to him. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life. I feel the Lord in this place this morning. And I'm waving my hand so all y'all can amen out there in land. Now look, in Psalm 121, he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord. So he makes a little statement there. And then he goes through this. That's where a lot of the pagans and the people who didn't trust God went out to the high places. They went to the hills, right? To sacrifice the false gods, and sometimes even sacrifice their own children. And now we know they went out there to smoke dope and do all kinds of sexually immoral things, because when you have a God that will tolerate anything, you can let loose in anything. And that's how a lot of people live in our world today. But if you keep reading, because the chapters were not in the original, right? Eusebius and his boys added them in. But sometimes you lose the thought when you stop at a chapter. And so, not always, but sometimes, and I'm not here to preach against the chapters, but I want to show you what happens. Go over to Psalm 123. Look what the psalmist says. He says, I look to the hills. If we could see him writing this down, he would be saying, I look to the hills, from whence cometh my help, in Psalm 121. He'd be shaking his head. That ain't where I go. Look what he says in Psalm 123. He said, unto you. He's talking to God. He said, I don't go to the hills for my help. He said, unto you I lift up my eyes, and you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I don't look to the hills for my help. I look past the hills. I'm looking beyond where the hills are at. I'm looking straight up into the heavens where my God is seated on his throne. And I'm going to tell you, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust the Lord. When you're afraid, I'm going to trust the Lord. When the world's afraid, I'm going to trust the Lord. When there's trouble in the land, I'm going to trust the Lord. Because in trusting in him, we cannot lose. We should say with the psalmist, I don't look to the hills for my help. I look past the hills for my help. I look into the heavens for my help, because that's where my God, my Savior that dwells on high, has saved my soul and has promised me all the blessings in this life and eternal life. Amen. God is good all the time. Now that you know that, now that that's been planted in your spirit, let's go back to Psalm 27. And so he's talking about this. He says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Let me tell you where this comes from. Because David went to Mahanaim later in his life. But Mahanaim started with Jacob. Jacob was on the run because he's afraid of the army of Esau. And he got to Mahanaim and he saw a vision. And he saw a ladder that was coming down from heaven. And he saw angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. In other words, God showed up and said, hey, it's not the army you see that's really important. It's the one you don't see that I'm showing you in this vision, in this dream. And so Jacob called it Mahanaim. That word Mahanaim in the Hebrew means two camps or two hosts. Let me tell you something. The church needs to wake up to that. It's not just us. We're not on our own. We got angels, the Bible says, that hearken to the voice of His word. Now, they don't hearken to whining and complaining and fear and doubt. If you read Psalm 103, the angels don't hearken to fear and doubt and complaining and whining and gloom, despair, and agony on me, like the hee-haw used to say. I'm from Kentucky, for those of you that don't know it out there, that's why I said that. But they hearken, the Bible says in the book of Psalm 103, says they hearken to the voice of His word. Why do you think Jesus, when He was confronted with Satan, didn't come up with His own stuff, but He used the word of God? Because that's what angels move at. You can have an angel that may be assigned to you, and there's evidence in the Scripture that angels are assigned to us. The Bible says that they camp around those who fear the Lord and trust Him, right? So we've got angels that are at our disposal. But if you're going to stand against a hallelujah jukebox and complain and whine all the time, your angel's on unemployment. Because he don't move at that. Your angel moves at the voice of God's word. So when I speak, I need to speak as the oracles of God. I need to speak God's word. That's why the angels move. They don't move when Matthew Robbins complains and whines and speaks doubt and unbelief. They move when Matthew stands up and says, hey, that's God's word. I'm going to hang my body on that. Come what may, I'm hanging in with God. That's when they move. You want angels moving on your behalf? Start speaking the word of God. Fill your life up with it. The Bible says in James that it's called the engrafted word of God. That Greek word is enphutos. It means a deposit. So when you get God's word deposited into you, then you can speak God's word. And that happens to people. That I've talked to many people over the years. You know, I spoke something to somebody. I didn't even know I had that in there. But if you'll make those deposits, He'll draw them out. But if you don't make deposits, you ain't got nothing to draw from. I grew up in a holler. And in a holler, there were a lot of little stores back in the day where people got their goods. We had coal mines, just all that stuff, and you had bill tab at the store and everybody paid them off at the end of the month or whatever. But those days, you could go in some of those stores and they'd have somebody's check hanging on the post or laying on the counter. Somebody's check that had bounced. Somebody hadn't paid their bill, right? Why couldn't they pay the bill? Because they hadn't deposited enough in the account, right? And they tried to spend it, and it wouldn't work. That's the same thing. You want some Word of God coming out of you, you need to make some deposits. Make some deposits in God's Word. I'm going to have to take this jacket off. Hold on now, don't get too upset. I'll quit here in just a minute. So you got to make deposits. If you make deposits, you'll have something to draw on. If you don't make, it's just like putting money in the bank. If you don't put money in there, you don't have anything to draw out. A lot of Christians, they like to go to church and hang out and do humanitarian things, all of which we should do. Every one of those things we should do. But they don't want to make deposits. And then the battle cranks up, and they got nothing to draw out of. So you got to make deposits. And I tell you, this is a beautiful time right now to spend more time in the Word. And the kind of situation our nation, our world's under, spend time in the Word and prayer. Let me go on. He says in verse 3, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Now, Mahanaim means two hosts. Jacob said that. David went back. We have another army fighting on our behalf. Though war may rise against me, this I may be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. His house, His temple, is a city of refuge, like the Old Testament speaks of. And even today, our churches should be cities of refuge, a place where people can find God, a place where they can get hope and the truth it spoke into their life. For in the time of trouble, in all you in TV land say, it's going to be hard for me not to try and speak in here till we all get back together. But for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Now that's one of the words I want to talk to you about, pavilion. Now look, sulk is the Hebrew word. It's where we get Sukkot and all that, where it comes all full circle around the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And this root there, sulk pavilion, that we see here in this word, in this chapter, is that he is a tabernacle, a booth, and here's the kicker, a covering. Now, don't you think about that. Don't you think about the Lord as your covering as you see this. Because that's what David's declaring here. He says, though they come against me, I've desired to be in the house of the Lord. And he said, all the days of my life. Verse 5, he says, for in the time of trouble, in the time of trouble. There's trouble in the land. There's trouble in our land. There's trouble in our land. There's trouble in our world. What are you going to do in the time of trouble? Notice what happens as he starts bringing this forth. He says, for in the time of trouble, God shall hide me in his pavilion. In other words, God's going to cover me. Now, this speaks volumes about Passover, which is coming fast down the pike here, that Passover slash Easter. This speaks volumes about God putting the blood on the doorpost and the word Pesach, that meant that God was going to hover over those homes in Egypt so that the death angel wouldn't be allowed in. I tell you, there's something greater than a mask. There's something greater than hand wash, which I use. There's something greater than all that, and it's called the blood of Jesus. Have you got the blood of Jesus applied to the doorpost of your hearts? Have you got the blood of Jesus applied to the doorpost of your home? Are you surrendered to his lordship in your home? He's still the answer to every problem. He's still that answer. And so here he says, I'm going to be covered by the Lord. He's going to hide me, just like he did Moses in the cleft of the rock. He's going to be covered. Now, if you can't see that explode in the New Testament, you ain't looking at it. He is our covering. Paul said he is our Passover lamb that was seen. He's the one that covers us. I'm in Christ. He's clothed us in righteousness. Paul talks about the difference between imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. Jesus is all in all. He'll clothe you in his righteousness when you're saved or born again. Then he'll work that righteousness in the fabric of your life to spread and sanctify you so that you not only have imparted righteousness, but also imputed righteousness. That's the way the Lord works in our lives. He wants to do that in your life. And finally, he says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. And he shall set me upon a high rock. You ever remember, I'm going to tell how old I am here a little bit, but anybody ever remember watching Good Times? JJ was about as big around as a carrot. Anybody remember that? JJ go get in trouble and he'd run to his dad. And his dad's a big old strong looking guy. And he'd get behind his dad and his dad would stop the traffic, the enemy. And JJ be back there trying to act like he's all that, right? That's a picture somewhat of who our God is. Who are you looking for? Can you imagine God on his throne and he's got you covered, got you and I hidden in him. And the devil comes up and the devil's afraid of God. He really is. And he's hunkering down and say, hey, I'm looking for Matthew. I can just see God standing up or Jesus standing up and say, who are you looking for? That's the God we serve. He's on our side. He said we can become the apple of his eye. He called Abraham friend. I can just see the Lord standing up saying, who are you looking for? You see the death angel coming down through the middle of Egypt, down Main Street. And there's a home covering the blood and he's trying to work his way in. The Lord looking over the house saying, hey, back off. I got this covered here. I'll be coming in here. We need to see those things. That's the God we serve. He says, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies all around. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing praise to the Lord. Let me tell you something. Instead of letting fear and doubt come out of your mouth during a season like this, why don't you start singing? You need to start praising and singing. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Some of your translations say, will take me in. That's who God is. If you're out there somewhere and you're feeling all alone, you've got a Savior. You've got a God. You've got the Holy Spirit that's there. He's there to pick you up and to change your whole life, the dynamic of your whole life. And that's what He is available to us Christians for as well, to be the very present help in the time of trouble. One of the titles for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is Paraclete. It means one who comes alongside to assist you. And that's the greatest force in the universe. The Holy Spirit is the greatest force in all the universe. The prophet said, the young guy was a little nervous. The prophet said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see what's going on. Here comes the army. But then the hills lit up with the power of God, with the angels of God. One angel slew 180,000 in one night. You got God on your side. Let me read something to you that I found from an old author. I don't even remember his name, but he said, to save, no one needs any better security against the objects of fear or dread than the conviction that God is on his side. Whew, I felt that. Nobody needs anything more against fear and dread than the knowledge that God is on his side. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The Bible says, neither depth nor height nor things present nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God. I stand in this pulpit to you tonight not having everything go my way. My wife and I, we've lost a child. We've about lost two more children to physical things. The Lord stepped in and all that. But I'm going to tell you, we've seen poverty. We've seen blessing. But I know God has stuck with me through every step of the way. And God is a way maker. He's a door opener. He's a door closer. He's the very present help in the time of trouble, the psalmist said. The Holy Spirit is in the New Testament saying to us, I'm here. I'll come alongside you. I'll help you. No matter what's going on in your life, I'll help you. And I'm going to close with this last statement. I got a lot to say, but I'm done. I think. That's my third close. My second. I always close on the third one. But this, I think that was my third one. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. How many want a smooth path? I want a smooth path. I don't want to have victory over here and get my brains beat out over here. Who wants that? I want to have victory all around. The Bible says nobody's ever left anything for the Lord and not received 100-fold more in this life and the life to come. He's done got that under lock and key on the next side. I'm just reaping what he's got for me down here. And then he says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. So your adversary could be anything. It could be an enemy. It could be a disease. It could be a sickness. It could be a relational. It could be anything. Look at verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. It's impossible to please God without faith. You got two choices, no matter what your circumstances are in life. You can either believe or not. You can believe or doubt. You can live in belief, you can live in fear. I got a lot of stuff coming. I got some transformational stuff that's changing my life currently, and I've been in this way a long time. But the Lord has opened up something to me that I've never had opened up to me before, and I'm going to bring it to you as soon as I feel comfortable enough and released to start bringing it to you. It's another revelation, and I don't feel short in saying this to you, like that prayer journey the Lord gave me. It's that big of a revelation. It's a game changer. And it's working in my life. He's teaching me some things. But I want you to know this. He says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Now, there's something I want to leave you with before I close. You got to believe if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's where your joy's at. That's where your power's at, trusting in the Lord. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. That's our motto here. We say it every service just about. We've got to trust in the Lord. That's where our strength, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You can't have joy watching the news 24 hours a day, but you can get it if you come to this word. And that joy is your strength. Let me tell you something. Unbelief, doubt, all that kind of stuff will hamper your joy. Now, what happens when our joy starts giving way? We become more susceptible to Satan. So I want you to keep your joy up no matter what you're going through. Don't look to the hills anymore. Look past the hills. David is a man. The reason we love David so much and glean so much from him is because he's a man that went through it all just about. And some of it he didn't cause, and some of it he did to himself. That speaks to every one of us in the world. Sometimes we don't do things, the devil does, and sometimes we have to say, you know what? I'm the one caused that. But the Lord still is right there. How many of you would turn your child away if they said, well, I've done this to myself? Most of us say, would you learn your lesson? Well, yeah, well, come on in. Let's fix it. That's how God is. He loves us. When the prodigal, I'll leave you with this, I promise. When the prodigal came home, the father ran out to meet him. Now, I hope you didn't have a father that would be sitting on the porch and say, I ain't going out to meet him, or he blew everything I gave him. What rights he? That ain't who this father was. This father jumped off the porch, ran to meet him, and the son, in beautiful humility, which he should have had, he should have been humbled. He said, let me be a servant. And the dad said, ain't no way. Go kill the cow, get the shoes, bring the ring. My son was alive, dead, and alive again. Amen. Brought him in. That's the God that's looking for you out there in YouTube land. All you got to do is turn and head his way. He'll run out to meet you. Now, the other son's there. There's a parallel between Jews and Gentiles, and we're not going to get into all that this morning. But there's so much to see in that. But the main thing you need to see is that your father loves you, and no matter what mess you're in, he's there. All you got to do is whisper his name, and he'll step into your life. So a lot of stuff goes on, Father, in this world that we don't have any control over. But we know with the blast of your nostrils, you can make mountains fall and cause volcanoes to erupt. Just with the blast of your nostrils, the psalmist said, you can make an earthquake. And God, we just pray over everybody in our congregation and everybody that's a part of this ministry around the globe, our missionaries, the people that tie into this ministry through podcasts, through YouTube, through Basilea Ministries, our missions arm, and through Living Water here, this local body, we thank you for all of those people, Lord. And I pray, I speak health over them. I speak health over them, Lord. You said, call those things that are not as though they be. I speak health over our people here locally and around about, Lord, that you've tied in with us in one way or another. I speak health over our brothers and sisters around the world. And I speak health over our brothers and sisters in this state. I speak health, and I speak that you'll use this moment like you prophesied to us you would to do your work. Let the lost be saved, the sick be healed, and those who are downcast be renewed in Jesus' name. We'll see you Wednesday night. We'll be coming on around 7 o'clock, and we will be working in the meantime to get all this worked up. When we get done, it should be a pretty nice loop for our podcast and our YouTube channel and all the things we're trying to do here. God bless you all, and we'll see you this coming week.